This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing this thing. We got Jay Binkley in the studio talking draft. He has been working nonstop throughout the entire weekend with our draft coverage. He's got a draft special still tonight. Talking more, you also have a couple special guests stopping by. We can get into that in a second. But one, thanks for coming in studio. I know you've been busy, but also we got to address the elephant in the room right out of the gate. Earlier today on the show, we were talking about different players in the draft, and I said, yeah, Drew told me Bink is not happy with the Chiefs draft. You immediately texted me and said, not true,
not
man.
True.
Stop saying that. Making me look bad. I go, hey, blame Drew. You guys work it out. Then Drew basically doubled down on air.
I don't want to deal with all the people in their mom's basement on Twitter hitting me up. I sent you a screenshot.
You did.
When he flat out asked me,
you did,
what grade do you give the Chiefs? And I said B+, and sent it directly
last
to
night.
You.
Yeah, you sent it to me, and then I told Drew that, and he said, no. Bink doesn't know what he's talking about. And then you said, I'm going to kick Drew's ass. So
then
here we are.
You said Norman Lott, and I said, I actually like the pick.
So what's the real story
Bring
here?
Bring it. Come on in,
Drew. Where's the confusion?
Last night, no, on Friday night, Bink
Let's
said he
spell
didn't
it, Bengals
like
fan. Oh, I'm going to believe
on Friday,
this.
On Friday night, Bink texted me.
Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, blah, blah, blah.
His team got the worst.
They got the worst grade.
Oh, it's
anyway,
a terrible
we'll get
draft.
To that in a second. They got the worst grade.
Bink likes a couple of the picks that they made.
Drew, where really did the confusion it. Come in? You said Bink is lying.
Why are you confused about B+,
Drew? You said lying.
I didn't say Bink was lying.
I sent
lying.
Him proof.
On Friday night, Bink did not like the draft through Friday night at 9:30.
I won the running back early.
Okay, that was true. You told him you didn't like the draft.
I liked the picks.
And then last night, I did ask Bink. I was like, okay, so what grade did you get? Because I mentioned, you know, Thor giving him the C-. Bink, I said, what grade?
Thor was a tough grader.
And Bink said, Bink said, I give him a B+.
Yes.
And if Simmons hits, then it's an A.
Yes.
Okay. That's
I
fair.
Will say,
that's fair.
I will have to
I don't
ask
like
you,
draft
Bink,
grades.
We are curious because this is 2 days after you're saying this to me. 2 days later, or 2 days after you just slamming the Josh Simmons pick. Did you go back and watch some tape like I did with Shamar Stewart?
He test drove that Corvette, remember? And he said, you know what? This thing's pretty good.
Hey, Shamar Stewart in the Bengals, your first round pick. There is zero production from his time at A&M. No sacks, hardly any tackles. So there's nothing to hang your hat on that pick, Drew.
I said they drafted Ryan Sims, I think, is what we were going with.
I don't know what they drafted.
He got close.
I like nine in the second round. I like the guy that's going to, quote, replace Jermaine Pratt because he wants out of there, too.
I don't want to make it about the Bengals here. We can move on, guys, in a second.
No, you can go ahead because I don't want to make it about the Bengals either. I was going to say something.
You do, Joe.
It's fine.
Well, I just hope you guys are all right. I hope you two are all right.
We're not. We're not fine.
Well, let's talk about the draft.
We
can get it straight from you, Binkley, what you think about the actual Chiefs draft. Let's take out the Simmons one for a minute because I know you've got reservations, like a lot of us have reservations about the injury and when he gets on the field, how early he gets on the field, and if he actually ends up being a starting left tackle. What pick did you like the best after that?
Noel Williams. 100% Noel Williams in the third round. Love this kid. He's that cornerback at Cal. He's physical. He's not just one of those corners you think is out there. He's a ball hawk. You say, okay, he was just a ball hawk. He had 7 interceptions. He picked off Cam Ward, too, by the way. So he did have an interception this year off the number one pick in the draft when Cal played Miami. I like the kid. There's a lot to like about the kid. He led the nation in interceptions. The Chiefs kind of had a theme. A lot of their guys were the tops in their nations at something, whether it's win pressure rate from Norman Lott or the most pressures like Ashton Jelate, the edge they got. But there's a kind of a theme. A lot of their guys, you dig deep in their high character guys. Wilcox was great, their head coach from Cal. We had him come on and talk about him. Listen, the old cliche, he loves football and all this. Mm-hmm. But that's becoming a big thing. Like, do guys actually love the sport?
Because of NIL?
Yeah, and he was great. He says there's two categories of players in this world, those that like being a football player. and those that like to play football. And he goes, he was the guy that liked playing football. He's literally first guy there, last guy to leave. It's the type of guy that's going to sit next to him home and say, all right, on the practice field, when you're throwing against me, what am I doing wrong? Like, that's the type of guy that would welcome criticism.
It feels like out of the first round picks in year one, I'm not saying overall how many starters there can be. I think there could be multiple starters eventually. But right away, in terms of playing time, it feels like he is going to play the most.
He could challenge Jalen Watson for a starting spot. I mean, Noel Williams can challenge for a starting spot with this defense. And he'll definitely be in a rotation. I definitely expect to see him playing. And it enables you to kind of move Shamari Connor back to a safety role. I mean, he's big enough. He could even play that role if that's where they want to pencil him in and play him, because he's a good tackler. It's a guy you can trust playing safety because he doesn't mind. He loves to come up and hit. I mean, it's one thing about the kid is he loves to come up and hit people. And I just really like Noel Williams. 14 interceptions in his career. The guy was constantly breaking up passes, picking the ball off, returning interceptions, returning fumbles. The guy is just a ball hawk and a tackler, someone that Spags going to love because that tough physical corner, it's over 6 foot, that can shut down that edge. You know, it's a very Snead-like pick, to be honest with you.
Are you surprised at the fact that they went so defensive heavy?
I thought
they were a fork in the road. I didn't know for sure which way, Bink, but I was like, they're going to go one way or the other. I thought they'd just be tired of being like the 12th best offense, and they're like, screw this. We're going to be better now. So, like, I thought more offense
was
probably.
I did too, because everything they say, hey, we're going to be explosive. You know, Mahomes talking about it, Andy Reid talking about it, we're going to be explosive. Last year in St. Joe, that was all about the explosive Kansas City offense is back. You all saw the clips on Twitter or X or whatever, all these home run touchdowns to Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown. Everything looks great. And then you play the games. And then Hollywood Brown gets hurt on the very first play. Basically gone for the year, just 9 receptions. Then Rashee Rice gets hurt against the Chargers. And by the way, he's going to have a suspension probably coming up this season as well.
I'm almost done predicting.
I hope he doesn't. It's hard to predict. He's coming off an injury. Hollywood Brown, you know, he was coming off one, did come back and play for the Chiefs at the end of the year. So, yeah, it looks great on paper. But let's not forget that Xavier Worthy was asked to step up last year in a way that Rashee Rice, I felt like, had a ton of pressure 2 years ago because he was an identifiable guy. You got to come in here and make a difference for this offense. Like, I don't think there's any pressure on Royals at this point, which is great for him.
Right.
But
do you agree with the comp for him? Royals, a lot of people saying Rashee Rice-esque.
I think it might be a little more downfield, too, with him. A little more home run ability than Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice was used everywhere with SMU. He had 97 catches. I think second on the team was like 35 or something. They used him everywhere. But, you know, Rice kind of alleviates Kelsey. Different positions, wide receiver and tight end, but a lot of the same routes, you know, muddying up the middle, taking the dirty passes, you know, that tough physical player that he is. But, yeah, they asked Worthy to step up. But, yeah, the Chiefs were a lot of one-score games. This clearly could have gone the other direction. You watch those games. Chiefs were not putting teams away. There's a reason why they were one-score games, because they weren't putting teams away. So I would have had no problem saying, all right, let's go ahead and roll off. Look at Tampa. They didn't care. Hey, they already had receivers. Oh, we'll get Amika Buka. We'll get one of the best receivers still in the draft. You load up weapons. I'm just saying, you hit Patrick Mahomes one time. Like, one time. Don't sit here 20 years later, because you already won 3 rings with him, and you can win many more with him, with the guy. But you're only going to have a quarterback of that quality once in a lifetime. Give him weapons.
Isn't there an argument, though, that by having a top 5, top 10 defense, that also, it doesn't look the fun, flashy way
on
offense, but they're saying, we have the quarterback, so we don't have to go as crazy in this area. We're going to give him an unbelievable defense to work with. And yeah, I agree with you. Like, they're clearly banking on guys coming back from injury last year, or this year from last year. But I guess I don't have as big of an issue with the defensive amount of picks, because I think there's a bunch of guys with expiring contracts on defense. They needed
to
do this.
Well, one thing about it, too, is like Norman Locke can get to the quarterback, even though he's in a rotation, didn't have 129 pass rush snaps at Tennessee. But he gets to the quarterback. Like, he wins that, and he can play in the inside. And Ashton Gelate, who is an edge guy, but has played 3 technique, 5. He can do all those sorts of things on the defensive line, which the Chiefs like, but he gets to the quarterback as well. The Chiefs were number 2 in the NFL in sacks for 2 straight years. That Super Bowl win over the Eagles and then against the 49ers, number 2 in the NFL in sacks. They slipped all the way back to 18th last year, or tied for 18th in sacks. So getting to the quarterback, they see the value in that, obviously, because they watch their own film. What are teams doing to stop Mahomes? All right, we need to do this defensively to stop other teams. It's a good litmus test for what they need to do, what type of players that they need. So it's about getting to the quarterback, and they definitely got guys that can get to the quarterback.
On the offensive side, going back to like the running back stuff a little bit, I guess this is part of where Like, we can come on here, we can do 4 hours of Homer radio, and I can tell you that Smith is the next Emmitt Smith. You can't believe it. Rashawn Smith, he's the best running back in the draft. He's pretty much Ashton Jeffrey.
That's what the text line wants.
Of the seventh round. But like,
gloss everybody.
Like,
butter all the asses.
I could give you the best sixth and seventh round picks in NFL history, and I'm going to come up with like three dudes who are like the level of player people are talking about Smith being a running back this year. And I'm like, no. Historically, they'd be lucky if he's as good as Isaiah Pacheco. So, like, the offensive part, the only, like, I understood why they were like, the wide receivers will be fine. Like, I kind of understood the logic of be like, screw it, man. We're going to get Rashee Rice back. Worthy in year two. Hollywood Brown. We're fine. Wide receiver. We're going to be good. And they still drafted wide receiver higher than running back. Running back. Kareem Hunt's 30. Pacheco, you've already felt like you've gotten, like, you've already hit a lottery ticket and a seventh round pick in a lot of ways and got a starting running back out of it. Now I trust them late rounds more than most teams. But now I'm supposed to think they got another starting running back. It's more likely he's out of the league in 2 years, right?
Well, the one
right?
thing good about Hunt
then
is
he's Isaiah Pacheco.
Pass protection with Hunt's good. Third down, you trust that guy because third and one, fourth and one, he can pick up those tough yards and he can catch the ball in the backfield like P. Ryan did. But the one thing about Burchard is he's a good catcher of the football and he's a returner too. Because remember, Veach and Reed both talked about that. It's important for wide receivers and running backs to have returnability because now the ball is going to be spotted at the 35-yard line instead of the 30. Both Royals, he's got previous kick return history, and so does Burchard at Miami. I mean, don't forget, this guy was a receiver at Miami, so maybe not that prototypical size guy to run between the tackles because he hadn't done it much. Just the carries he got last year at SMU, that's the only, which is good because that's the only really wear and tear as a running back on his body was at last year at SMU because he was a receiver at Miami. So he's very good at catching the ball out of the backfield. So I understand why that's an allure for the Chiefs because can you block, can you catch, and can you return kicks? Those categories have been met.
I feel like they've put themselves in a bit of a corner, though, for next year where they're like, because of Kareem Hunt's on a one-year deal, Elijah Mitchell, one-year deal, Pacheco's deal expires. Yeah, you got Carson Steele. Now you draft this young kid. Next year, I feel like, barring complete surprise,
don't
they're going to spend
your,
a first.
Don't forget about Casey, your guy from KU, coming over as tight end slash fullback.
Because what? He got invited to rookie minicamp?
I'm kidding about that.
I feel like they're going to be in having to draft a running back in the first or second round next year.
We'll see how Burchard pans out. It's going to be interesting. You know, St. Joe's going to be interesting with the running backs. Pacheco, how much trust and faith? Because they lost some trust and faith. It's evident in the film. You watch it third down, especially when it's past halftime. It wasn't him out there. On third and one, fourth and one, he wasn't picking it up. But they lost some faith. Maybe the injury wasn't quite back where he was.
That's what
where
I
Pacheco
assume
was.
It is, that give him a full offseason to rest up and be healthy.
But there's some hot hand issues. Andy Reid goes with the hot hand. And if you're the hot hand, he goes with it. Mitchell, he's got blazing speed, too. Health has been a concern. 4.32 at his pro day when Elijah Mitchell ran at his pro day. Very fast against the – and they have fast guys. And Burchard's a 4.39 guy. I mean, they're quick.
Yeah, but Pacheco's a 4.39.
He's a 4.37 guy. Pacheco's actually a 4.37. And MVS was a 4.37 guy.
MVS actually looked it sometimes. He just couldn't catch. Those are different. Or jump. Those are different skills than just running straight line speed. I just thought they wanted more juice there. I thought it made sense to get more athletic, to get younger, to get faster at that position. And instead, they're just like, nah, we'll just take 3.8 yards per carry between Pacheco and Hunt, and we're going to try to make it up through the air. Which, if they do get good blocking at left tackle, will work. But because they've got left tackle and left guard questions, it's like, do you want a guy who can maybe get some yards after the care after you know yards after touch for you in that scenario? Other than, like, I don't have some big issue other than, like, and again, the running back is, I'd probably do it a little bit different. I genuinely, like, going back to what Gold said right at the beginning, Bink, I don't think they drafted a single day one starter in the entire draft. Like, that's uncommon.
But they got
not
guys
zero,
that certainly
but like,
get snaps and help. Like, Norman Lott will be part of the rotation, and he'll be out there playing.
15%, 20%,
though? No Williams could possibly be a starter, to be honest with you.
He's got the best chance, I think.
I think he's got a great chance to be a starter. And Burchard will be in the rotation. Like, they'll rotate running backs. He'll be in that rotation. And Jalen Rose, you'll see
linebacker?
Him as a fourth receiver at times. I mean, yeah, a lot of it's going to Rashee Rice and Worthy and Hollywood Brown. That's the hope. And then he sprinkles in some talent as well. But yeah, the day one starters, it's going to be tough with this group.
Whose draft did you like outside the Chiefs?
Not the Bengals.
Are you saying that to make him mad?
No, I'm being serious.
We both like Chicago's because we like how much
I like New England. Believe it, even though Will Campbell,
your guy Kyle Williams.
But they did fly out there, and his hands did grow, and his arms did grow an inch from the combine to his pro day. So that's going in his face. Seems to be a lot of that going on in college football. But there's a lot of things that I do like. You know, the Patriots did. The Raiders, I thought, had a good draft. It's kind of a head-scratcher with running back. Of course, we're not wild about running backs in the first round. But
if you're going to take a guy, might as well be a guy.
They got
like
Charles
Ashton
Grant, the offensive lineman I like. Jack Besh, I liked him a lot, too. So I did kind of like what the Raiders did.
Yeah.
But the Patriots, I think, are right up there. One, I think the Giants are most interesting because you have the dual Carter and Cam Scataboo.
I don't mind
they don't
Giants
have a quarterback,
draft,
but it's kind of fun to watch what they're going to do.
Yeah, I don't mind their draft. I just wonder, you know, if you draft Jackson Dart, there's a very good chance that next year he's got a new GM and head coach. And if it blows up in Russell Wilson's face this year, they're going to have another top pick, and that regime will look at a better quarterback class, and then Jackson Dart just gets drafted over. Like, as much as we're praising them for trading back in and getting Dart, it's a very real chance that they draft over Jackson Dart next year.
Yeah, is Russell Wilson still, you know, him and Flacco both won rings, and it's tough for those guys that have won rings to be the mentor, you know, be the guy that helps younger guys. Cause clearly, Flacco wouldn't like that with Drew Lock. He hasn't been that way a lot in his career. Didn't think it's his job to be a mentor. Well, at some point in your career, it is. And helping players develop in the quarterback position helps not only the team, but helps that player as well develop. And the Chiefs have been kind of unselfish and willing to do those type of things like Alex Smith. But the fact that Flacco has won one and the fact that Russell Wilson has won one as well, I think that kind of clouds their the way they look at things.
Would you have, we're talking about Flacco because there's odds out on the offshore market of who's going to start for the Browns week one? Who do you think starts week one? Who do you think plays the most games?
Most games? And I know this isn't
those
popular.
Those are different answers.
No,
it
isn't.
Me.
I mean, don't sleep on Shadur starting for this team. Because that running back room is a bunch of crap, man.
Why? They just got Quinshon Judkins and...
Yeah, they drafted Dylan Sampson.
They got running backs now.
How much do you think they're kicking themselves? Like, hey, we could have Travis Hunter and Shadur Sanders. We could have this combination of these guys that like each other. Like Xavier Restrepo going to play with Cam Ward in Tennessee. I expect him to have a pretty good year because he's got his quarterback.
We were asking, that was the fun part about part of the Sanders conversation. And then we could talk about whether or not you think crank calls are okay, Bank. But part of the conversation is, if it had gotten to the fifth round and it was the Chiefs pick, would you have been willing to take Sanders as the backup? I would have. And he likes a veteran. He always spends the money on it. Why not just have a quality veteran? Or why not just have a quality backup for 4 years rather than go search for the veteran? And in the crazy scenario that he plays really well in preseason games, maybe you can Jimmy G him and flip him for something if you make him look good. Like
the Patriots made a history of doing that.
If I were the Chiefs and he was sitting around in my fifth round pick, I'd have done it.
I don't know. He's not a guy that can help. They brought in Gardner Minshew to be the backup. And again, is it really Andy Reid's role to develop quarterbacks? Because it's not, because you don't want to develop somebody to become good, because then that becomes competition for Mahomes. It's his job.
Yeah, but see, that's
somebody.
Why you do. You don't
no
have to worry about it in Kansas
no
City. There's
competition
no competition
for Mahomes.
There's
you
not.
Can,
but,
you can,
but
you can do
you
that.
You want to groom
have...
somebody and help somebody else that goes to another team eventually.
I don't care.
That might hurt you.
Just as long as it's,
well,
yeah, it's not the Chiefs. I don't care.
I mean, don't trade him in this hypothetical to the Chargers or the Raiders. Yeah, I mean, but other than that, I mean, the Patriots ship Garoppolo not to their divisional
Matt Castle
rival
as well. They found a history.
They didn't care. They moved him in the AFC and
they
didn't
had Tom Brady. They didn't care. The Chiefs had Mahomes. They wouldn't care.
You just make him just good enough to make him a valuable asset.
Hey, and thanks to the Patriots. They continue to trade. They always
they
do.
They do.
The Trent McDuffie, thanks to the Patriots. They traded three times this year. The Chiefs did. Two of them were to New England Patriots. So thank you.
Patriots.
The Patriots keep doing it.
And
Belichick and Reid have always treated each other back, even when, I know it's Vrabel now, but even back when Andy Reid was in Philadelphia, they used to trade back and forth with each other. Oh, and by the way, props to the Houston Texans, the Kansas City Texans. I wonder how that's going to go over there. Because Shane Ray's Chiefs tattoo didn't go over real well in Denver. Because they drafted three local Kansas City kids. Ursary from Ruskin.
Yeah.
Jalen Noel from Park Hill. Graham Mertz, Blue Valley North.
No,
three players were drafted from Kansas City. And Ursary even had the Kansas City Monarchs hat on.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
So, I wonder how that's going over in Houston.
So very cool. I'm with you. Like, very cool. But, like, why is it props? Like, I mean, it's great they're from Kansas City, but if they're not good players, they're not good players.
Guys get the chance to play in the NFL.
Like, I'm with you. It's cool to see, but, like, props to the Texans. Like, what does that mean? Like, what does that even mean, though?
I said it tongue-in-cheek.
Okay.
Like, props to Texans for taking Kansas City local. Hey, okay, man.
Kansas City kids will get to hang out together.
Sure.
I like Jalen Noel as a player a lot. And I did like Ursary a lot too.
When Mertz came out of high school, wasn't he the number one quarterback in the country? Wasn't he like one of the top five or something?
He was high up there. I remember he transferred from Miege to Blue Valley North, won a state title over there, then went to Wisconsin, then to Florida. I guess the intangibles teams were looking at, the fact that, you know, he's got the size, the arm strength, that kind of thing.
I just thought he was one of the, like, top. That's all.
He was definitely one of the best. He was a blue chipper, 4-star. He was at least 4. Well, not a 5-star kid, but 4-star.
You know, we all said made a big mistake at the time, and why didn't he go to the transfer portal? But Quinn Ewers. And then he falls all the way to the Dolphins later in the draft.
He could have had 8 million.
Yeah, that one was a head-scratcher at the time.
He should have played in college.
Even if he was going to be a 4th-round pick. And this guy fell even further than that. Talk about bad advice.
You're telling me nobody else. We were talking about 1st-round a year ago with him.
But where would he be next year? You know, that's the other
thing. Sure, but that's the thing.
Ohio State, again.
If you're him, you stay in college, get your $2 million, $1.5 million check, and then if you're a 6th-round pick, he lost out on $1 million.
Yeah, he did.
He missed out on money.
He's going to make no money this year if he makes the roster.
Probably shouldn't care. I mean, he's the one that skipped out on a senior year to go to Ohio State.
Yeah.
Well, also, I wonder what his priorities were. So somebody had mentioned over the weekend of him being a Texas quarterback that goes to the draft does so much more for him in his 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s in terms of, like, he can – somebody within college football said, like Colt McCoy, for example, playing the NFL for a little bit, he makes tens of millions of dollars in just talking because he's a Texas quarterback. So I don't know if that means –
he signed an autograph to Jiffy
Lube. That's coming from Colt McCoy, so he's probably making some money doing it.
In regards to Quinn Ewers, not to say that he would do it because, again,
with the playoffs
depending on how legacy goes with – but if he wanted to be a pro and he didn't care about money, then I don't know.
Yeah, I just wonder if Arch Manning's who we think he is, you think anybody's asking Quinn Ewers to speak in 15 years or 20 years? Or are they going to try to get Arch Manning and pay him a bleep load of money?
They already started the awful for Manning, awful for Arch.
I mean, it's the same thing with Vince Young. I mean, Colt McCoy's making money. Yep. I mean, I'm sure Vince Young is getting paid a ton of money.
Got Arch with the Saints.
The Saints intentionally drafted an awful quarterback.
Tyler Shuck is always hurt. Dude would have to be, you'd have to worry about bringing him in here for an interview. You'd worry about him getting hurt getting to the car.
One of the funniest things from the weekend was there was a tweet from 2019 in which Justin Herbert was benched because Oregon was whipping the team that they played. Guess who they brought in?
Tyler Shuck.
He was a backup for Justin Herbert at Oregon.
He was in the league for like a decade, it feels like.
7 years he was in college football in many places.
How did he get drafted? Again, I think they intentionally drafted a bad quarterback so that they can suck and get the number one overall pick. Because Shuck is a great pick if that's your plan.
You know, why not just roll with Spencer Rattler, though? That's
you got to make it a little less obvious, you know?
You know
you got to sprinkle a little mystery on it.
You know what's funny about it?
It's not so obvious, you know?
Cleveland has that mannequin, you know, downtown Cleveland. They have all their quarterbacks' names on, like, scratched off on tape. How many more quarterbacks we had this year?
It's crazy. Because
they draft Dylan Gabriel and Shador. Come on, man. Right. They drafted two running backs and Judkins and Samson. I was pissed that Cleveland took Samson.
Because you wanted the Chiefs to take him.
I halfway wondered if the Chiefs would have done
that. Clearly, they weren't going to. I mean.
Well, you never know. Cleveland kind of took him to kind of change things, the way you look at things. Because no one expected Cleveland to take yet another running back.
Two running backs, two quarterbacks. That's quite the draft.
And Judkins was in the bathroom when they called him.
What?
His mom answered the phone.
He was in the bathroom. And they were filming it.
You got to not drink water. You got to be like Scott Hansen for Red Zone. You got to like...
Hey, you had to go to the bathroom.
At least it wasn't like his girlfriend answering it, you know?
Yeah.
No, I can't let the girlfriend
like CeeDee Lamb's girlfriend.
You can't be sure it's your girlfriend forever, you know? You got to...
The Russell Wilson photo is still an all-time photo from draft day.
Yeah.
I think Brett Favre is with the jean shorts on, the jorts, and the laying on the bed and stuff.
What a weird moment. You're like, you're in this video moment forever, like...
You're not, Up next, I want to ask Bink about just what exactly occurred with Shador Sanders throughout the weekend, and who's starting by week 10 for the Cleveland Browns, plus more on the Chiefs draft next. Back here on Cody and Gold, we got Jay Binkley hanging out with us. We're talking draft even during the break. The break.
There was 600,000 people estimated in Green Bay. By the way, their population is 105,000. The first night they doubled their population out in front of the draft.
Yeah,
this thing's getting crazy.
A lot of people just like showing their garage, their parking, their like driveways for parking.
Next year in Pittsburgh, it's gonna be insane.
Well, Pittsburgh's gonna be cool because look, Green Bay had a ton of people, and the aerial shots were fine. But it's a small town; it's like flat. There's no buildings over like three stories.
105,000.
Go to Pittsburgh. That skyline. I've never been there. I've only seen it on TV. PNC Park, obviously, where the Pirates play. the skyline, depending on where they're doing it in Pittsburgh, it's going to look incredible of that. Like Green Bay, there was no skyline, right? So this is going to be really cool in Pittsburgh, I think, next
year.
Didn't
have a Union Station like we did.
Have Union Station. So Green Bay, it was just the sheer amount of people and cool that it was in such a small town.
And it's free. It was huge.
Yeah, I don't think it was like the coolest draft scene we've seen. I think Detroit looked cooler. I think Kansas City looked cooler. I'm imagining Pittsburgh will look cooler. That's
it's all. Still bringing in over 600,000 people. Yeah, the same as Nashville brought in 600,000. Yeah. Detroit brought 750 plus.
Oh, no, their fans showed up.
People were saying over a million in Detroit.
Yeah.
This thing is becoming a beast.
Shedeur Sanders falls to the fifth round. I was telling you during the break what I'm still trying to figure out. Not that clearly he wasn't a first round quarterback. Obviously, teams didn't view him that way. And then we've got the baggage stuff, and we'll get to the prank call. What I can't get over is every draft expert, whether it's Kiper, Matt Miller, whoever, all these guys have done very, very well throughout their career. How did their relationships with these teams and agents, how did throughout the process nobody say, hey, you guys all are having this guy as a first-round quarterback. You guys are wrong. Like, this is not how we view these quarterbacks. Like, quarterbacks can fall 15 picks, happens all the time.
Like, I got him, like, eighth.
But how are they not like, hey, he's not a first-round. Like, he's like a third-rounder.
Well, in defending some of those guys, one thing, they've watched a lot more tape than the casual person watches. So they see tendencies in what they're doing.
But the teams do, too.
Teams do, but you know what, though? In some respects, teams are idiots, too. We sat here on our podcast in Kansas City crapping on Will Levis the entire year. Who the hell? And then as he was in Kansas City for the draft, but then he got on a plane and left and was taken right away by Tennessee in the second round as their quarterback of the future. But everybody that watched film on Will Levis, like, what are you doing, man? This guy's a turnover machine.
Right, but there was one team that liked him. There was seven teams that said Sanders wasn't a first, wasn't a second, wasn't a third, wasn't a fourth.
I get it. And you know what? We weren't in the interviews. That's the knock on the guys that are doing the mocks and everything else, because they weren't in the personal interviews with Shedeur and talking to him like these teams were. I mean, this is teams' livelihood, GMs, coaches, everything else. They want a guy they can go out that they trust to have a team. I know that Shedeur rubbed a lot of people wrong when he's playing to Colorado, when he's playing his own rap music after the games.
Yeah.
As the team's music in the locker room was his own, and that kind of rubbed some of his teammates wrong. So you got to humble yourself. Your players have to like you. It's one thing about Mahomes. Like, he'll have dinner with players. He'll have them down the camp pad. He'll play video games with them or whatever. And this guy's a superstar. But players like playing for somebody like that. You have to have a team of guys that like playing for that quarterback. And that's the biggest knock on him. I'll say this is a positive for Shedeur. He was sacked 152 times. Both the Jackson State and Colorado was sacked all the time. Did not have a running game.
Some of that's his own fault, probably.
He held the ball sometimes too long. Didn't have an offensive line, but he was tough, too. He didn't, like, hide from injuries. He didn't, like, walk. He came back
and tap
play
out like Anthony Richardson.
He didn't tap out. Like, I'll give Shedeur credit. He did play. Even though he was getting drilled, he still played the game. He didn't, like, fake injuries or I got to sit out because I'm getting nailed here. No, he stayed in and played. I'll give him credit for that.
I wonder a lot of it. I still think the slide is partially related to what we were talking about earlier, which is once you get into that fourth round, you're looking for a backup. You want wallpaper. You want seen, not heard, which is the stupidest way to draft. Like, at that time, it's the best time to take chances.
And now he's got Drew Rosenhaus's agent, which is all going to be about talking
like
now.
Like, not seen, not heard. Just trust, like, I view this like the Steelers, right? What the hell are you doing? Like, you don't want, like, too noisy of a backup quarterback? You're going after Aaron Rodgers, the noisiest of people on the planet. He's 40. So the best case scenario.
Come on now.
So the best case scenario you had is one. I'm just saying before that, you had one year, maybe, of starting quarterback play to do it, and you could have taken a chance on a player. Like, take on the noise. That was, like, I don't understand. How bad are you at your job that you can't hide a player? Teams do it all the time. Really good organizations do it all the time. Hide them.
Yeah,
hide them.
I'm convinced after the first press conference, after the first preseason game, in week five, nobody's going to be asking to interview Shedeur Sanders. I just don't buy the distraction thing as much as others.
I'm not buying it either.
You know, now the question is he good enough? We're going to find out, right? Can he play quarterback in the NFL? That quarterback room he's in, Kenny Pickett, Flacco, Dylan Gabriel. I mean, he's got plenty of an opportunity to just go and play football and show that
he has a chance to play and start games for Cleveland this year. A very good chance.
Do you think he starts a game this year?
I do.
When?
I think he plays multiple by week six. I think he starts.
I think it's too early.
But once he starts, I think he continues to start because, like I said, he's a tough kid. He's going to continue to play, but he will. He'll end up starting for that team. I mean, just look at the competition, though. Dylan Gabriel, nothing against Dylan Gabriel, but he's 5'11". Come on. Yes, he had a good collegiate career.
Was that in like some lifts?
That's why Tommy Mlott was 5'11 at Montana State and got drafted this year by the Raiders to be a wide receiver.
He might even be shorter than that.
Might be less.
So, but anyway, that's what the combine had him, man. But anyway, the guy's got a chance to play, to be honest with you, in Cleveland.
I don't know. I mean, there's no reason.
I think there's actually a very good spot for him.
Oh, you look at the names in the room. I'm with you. Yeah. The names in the room, you're not really going up against ranked competition.
No. You still think Joe Flacco?
I think Flacco starts week one and still ends up playing the most games for the Browns in 2025. Oh, it's either him or Kenny Pickett. Sanders is not starting week one. Neither is Dylan Gabriel. Future.
It depends on how they start.
Like, what I'm saying
is that they start off 0-4, 0-5. They want to move to the future.
I understand.
Hey, let's go. Stefanski's a 2-time coach of the year. How that happened, I don't know. But he is what's built on the future. We're not going anywhere. Flacco is our quarterback. Let's go with one of these younger guys like Gabriel Sanders.
They shouldn't even waste their time bringing in Flacco and Kenny Pickett anyway.
No, they should just pit up Gabriel and Sanders against each other. And if they both stink, Bink, there's like people that think five different quarterbacks might go, six different quarterbacks might go in the first round.
They get their name
on
the back of that mannequin.
Yeah, fine. But at the very least, you can make decisions in a year if nobody can play. It's not that big a deal. You can move on. I understand it's a disservice to the young quarterbacks in the NFL that there isn't a developmental league, because that's really the big issue at hand here.
No, there is. It's called college football.
I like what you're saying, though. You just keep throwing darts. And the one thing is, teams used to hold on to their quarterbacks. They don't do it anymore, man. They're jettisoned quickly. True. Even if they're first-round quarterbacks, they move on right from them.
Yeah, look out. Fast, the Steelers moved on from Kenny Pickett.
Look at Will Levis. That was going to be the quarterback of the future in Tennessee. They quickly pivoted from that and go Cam Ward.
Maybe this is not the teams are bad at drafting quarterbacks. Maybe this is that all quarterbacks are bad. Is it just really hard to
Sam
draft
Darnold
a good one?
Crapped his pants last couple weeks of the year, and he gets a major contract in the offseason.
It is a very difficult position to play against the best in the world, and there's so many factors and personnel around you. Do you have the right coach? I mean, there's just so many things that go into why you can succeed in the NFL, and so this year's class wasn't that great anyway. You're right. People are saying six quarterbacks next year in the first round. I'll believe that when it actually happens. I don't believe that. Well, there were six last year, but
does anybody really stand out besides Jaden Daniels and say, all right, this is quarterback of the future? Yeah, there's six. We're talking Cade Klubnik next year, talking Arch Manning. I mean, there's some guys.
Drew
Garrett
Aller,
Nussmeier could be considered the best quarterback in the class that's going to be rivaling Arch at LSU. Garrett Nussmeier, does anybody really impress you? You kind of understand why the Falcons went ahead and drafted Michael Penix when they could last year.
It's just very year to year. Like last year, you could say, all right, you found one absolute dude in Jaden Daniels so far. Some like, hey, let's see what happens. Caleb Williams, Drake May, Penix, McCarthy, Bo Nix, right? And then 2 years ago, it's just CJ Stroud. Like, I guess Bryce Young still got some hope left. Like, outside of that, you wouldn't waste your time. The year before that, you wouldn't waste your time with anybody. The best out of 2021 was Trevor Lawrence, and he's mediocre. It's year to year.
He's got Hunter now, though.
2020 was a great draft. There's like 17 starters in there. Love, Hurts, Herbert, Burrow. Tua's not bad. I mean, you know, it just kind of depends. Next year's probably more like that. That's why maybe, and that might also be why Sanders fell, admittedly. It might just be it was such a bad quarterback class, we're not even wasting our time. But like, I think the noise as the guy you take in the third and the fourth, they just like people who just like, you don't even, the Dylan Gabriels of the words, you're like, who? I don't even know who that is. Who?
Like I just think there was some stuff like getting your number retired and stuff like that at Colorado. People are like, huh? I think a lot of that.
Is that his fault?
His fault or not his fault. I mean, I think a lot of that went with him. Unfortunately or not, you know, I think a lot of that did carry over.
Good old draft. Are you going to miss it, Pink? You can miss draft talk?
No, because it's on the 26th. We'll still do character concerns every week. We do it every week anyway. It's why we start looking at, in the fall, we start looking at matchup. We look at how these guys do in OTAs, all the rookies from this year. We'll take a look at them. Then when in the fall start the college football, we look at the players that are supposed to be drafted, who they're playing against, the matchups, because it matters, because we watch these guys. We don't just sit around and watch these guys as soon as the draft happens. Like the text line thinks, we actually watch them throughout the year. So we had Xavier Worthy mocked to the Chiefs.
You tell them, Pink.
Text line's upset about your mock draft.
No, that's fine. They can be upset if they want, but we sit and watch these guys the whole time they play college football.
Can I ask you, have you sent out a single tweet about a guy who is an undrafted free agent, calling him a dog, a dude, this guy's a baller, can't believe it. Xavier Restrepo, maybe. Okay. It's my least favorite thing
every undrafted guy.
They just got a dog.
Xavier
Restrepo hurt himself by running that 40, because if he doesn't run that 40, he's probably a second round pick.
I'm convinced what happens with the undrafted guys is, as you said, people like yourself put in so much work, because you and Chris worked your ass off since the summertime, et cetera, evaluating these guys, right, and learning up and studying up on them. And then somebody doesn't get drafted, let's say. but you guys know who the player is because you guys have been doing a lot of work. And that player goes undrafted to get signed, and then anybody, because they know the player, goes on Twitter. Again, you didn't do this, but I'm just saying there's some.
They heard you talk about somebody.
And then they act like this player is so freaking good, and we forget that he was an undrafted player, and there's a reason why he was undrafted. Not that occasionally there are undrafted guys that can have success in the league, but I'm convinced that's what happens, is people do their homework on this guy, and they're just like, oh, we really liked him as well. But like at some point, they were undrafted for a reason. There's always the exception to the rule. Clearly, someone can text in and cite me an undrafted guy that turned out to be a stud. I'm not saying it's never happened. But if your team signs 15 undrafted guys, hypothetically, all 15 aren't studs. Sorry, they're not.
No, there's a reason why. And some of them work out. Carson Steele undrafted. They brought him in for a top 30 visit. He obviously impressed them. Impressed them in his work at Ball State. Then impressed them what he did at UCLA. And impressed them enough, they went ahead and threw a dart on Carson Steele. It happens. Sometimes you get the undrafted. Kurt Warner, sometimes you get lucky.
Exceptions,
there's exceptions. Not the rule, it's exceptions. And that's what happens a lot of time with undrafted guys.
So who are they drafting in 2026?
Yeah, let's get a too early mock draft.
You guys want to
who do you got the Chiefs taking
in 2026?
Pick 30. Yeah, get you
pick
have
30.
One?
Pick 32.
Pick 32.
Round
I don't know
one.
If they have them in this.
Pick 32. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, but that's so unrealistic for a team who's been to five Super Bowls in 6 years.
Don't worry. We'll get to pick 30. We'll get to pick 19 for Cincinnati in a second. Don't
You're
worry.
You're actually optimistic about their upcoming
19.
Season. I was going to say 12.
Gosh.
Yeah, 19th.
You people.
The Chiefs picked 20th to 32 the last 7 years.
I just did a couple mocks and the Chiefs picked 29th.
They haven't picked 28th in a decade.
They'll go ahead and pick 28th or 30th. Go ahead. Anyways, sorry.
Oh, man. I don't even.
All right, who is it?
What position are they going to need? How Simmons going to
work? I think they're going to need a running back. I think they're going to need a running back. I think they're going to need another edge rusher.
TJ Parker, Clemson, edge, maybe. I don't know.
What do you have a mock, Drew? Have somebody?
Chris and I will probably do one here soon.
CBS's
maybe Cassius Howell. He's a defensive end at A&M, but A&M runs everybody. Ask Drew. He knows about
hang
that.
Hang on a second.
His own draft.
He has one. From CBS?
No, I can't because I thought we were not doing CBS anymore. I'm going to Fox. Sorry.
Okay.
Rob Rang, we did
CBS's way
No
off.
Josh Edwards, no Chris Trapasso. Rob Rang on Fox Sports says, at 31, the Chiefs are taking Santarine Perkins, linebacker out of Ole Miss.
Linebacker the first round.
Listen, I like Rob. We've had Rob. You know, Rob last year, not this year, but the year before, out of 134 mockers, they went through the year and see how accurate they were. He was dead last.
Do you see?
Rang was dead last.
Do you see who was first in one of them? Nick Jacobs.
Oh, was he?
Out of 1,527 mockers submitted to the NFL draft database mock thing, he was ranked numero uno.
It doesn't surprise me being an Oak Park guy. Being an Oak Park lineman. Linemen are always smart. Yeah. Nick does his homework. So that didn't surprise me.
All jokes aside, he has them taking a guard. Josh Edwards does in the first round from Missouri, Caden Green.
Can you find me one where they take like a wide receiver or like a defensive lineman? Wide receiver.
Let's try Bleacher Report. They have 31 defensive lineman Keldrick Falk from Auburn.
Falk?
Falk. F-A-U-L-K. Falk. Like Marshall Falk. Bink and I think will agree on this. Caleb Downs will be the best player in the draft next year.
Caleb Downs 100%. And he's Ohio State. So BFBS, forget about that. The dude is a state. He was
really
at Alabama before that.
So you're saying the Chiefs have no chance of getting him.
Caleb Downs is going to be way gone.
That man might be Ed Reed.
Steelers might have a chance to draft him in Pittsburgh.
That means they stink this year. I'll take it.
So the Bengals at pick 18 or 19 next year. We'll have to keep an eye on that.
I will say I did look. I was a sicko on Sunday night. Last night I looked up a couple other mocks. Hey, the Bengals taking 28th and 29th in both of them. So expectation, boys, is they're going to be right back in the mix.
That was a really bad mock draft.
Expectations are they're going to score 30 points a game and give up 35.
Great fantasy football team again. Great fantasy football team. Good for your fantasy team. That's about it.
Look, Micah Parsons and Luke Kuechly have said their number one pick, Shamar Stewart, could be the best DN rusher in the entire class, better than Abdul Carter. I'll listen to them. I'll take it from them.
Nah, players don't
as
know
opposed
what
to Mel.
Too close. They're too close to it.
I'll listen to
the players. He's Corey Chavis. He's the best former player.
Dude, Patrick Mahomes once told me this guy more looks like a one. So, like, no offense, but I'm not trusting every player's evaluation.
Did Patrick Mahomes really say that?
He didn't say that, but he gushed about his performance.
The Bengals got excuse me.
I couldn't even finish the thought. He was so choked up.
You got that Texas Tech, the all-time leading rusher from Texas Tech went to the Bengals.
Taj Brooks, baby. I mean, it's a human bowling ball, baby.
Taj goes to the Bengals. You know Mahomes, one of them.
Oh, man. Good stuff. Look, who
do you have for your show tonight, Bink?
Efforting a few of the coaches. We've already had Jeff Brom.
Here, let me give you a chance to regroup.
Take a drink.
Seriously.
Are you
sure? Get a drink, man.
I'm fine.
Okay.
I don't have anything to drink.
All right, Jeff Brom, he's on the show.
Jeff Brom was. Kevin Wilcox, California, talking about Noel Williams, but there could be another surprise tonight.
Ooh, could be in
Drew's
there.
Dying back there.
Drew needs smacked in the head.
Drew is just dying back there.
Kick his ass, Bink.
Oh, I'm gonna.
No, it's because 2 seconds into Bink giving an answer, his voice is just going away because he needs a drink of water. Do you want me to get you a drink of water?
You know, I haven't given somebody a swirly since like sixth grade.
Oh, man.
Like Drew's getting a swirly. Head above the toilet. Toilet swirls around. Drew is going to have wet hair in just a little bit. He's going to have wet hair in just a few minutes. Totally swirling that dude. He didn't have the bro jersey on because he didn't like anything to touch that, remember?
Yeah, only
at the draft party,
he wears
an AJ Green.
He
didn't want anything to touch the bro jersey.
Mm-hmm.
He got booed at the draft party. That was probably the highlight of the night.
It was a pretty fun moment. Strong boos.
Bring it on, guys. Bring it on.
Mm-hmm. Drew, what's your official too early prediction for the Cincinnati Bengals now that you know Trey Henderson is still
year?
On? Yep. Trey Henderson's still on the team?
Wait.
You know
what
they drafted? What's the record for next year, 2025?
Okay, for record. I thought you were asking about the pick. Without knowing the schedule, I'll say...
I mean, you know the teams they're playing.
I'll say 10-7, and they win the division.
Binkley, you said the NFL... Man, they win the 10-7? I don't think so.
They won the division when they went to the Super Bowl in 10-7.
No, I mean it.
How did they do last year in the playoffs, Drew? Oh, I didn't go.
Yeah.
Drew was making it seem like we were saying crazy the Chiefs pick at 32. This is a good time to remind they have played in the Super Bowl.
I understand
that. Drew, they've been in the Super Bowl every year since you've been working at 96.5.
Three consecutive years. I mean, I guess if you wanted to be a hard ass, I could say 31, but like 31 or 32 is actually more realistic than me saying the Chiefs are picking at 28.
Ever since he's been here, the Chiefs have been to the Super Bowl. The Royals have been to the playoffs.
There's a greater chance
them
picking
You're great for Kansas City sports.
Welcome. I mean, they have statistically the likelihood of picking 30 or later, like 100% in the last like 7 years.
They also haven't played the Bengals in the playoffs yet. So just wait.
They
have.
Also, they have. They're 1-1 against each other. Like, you act like they're like 5-0 against the Chiefs. They beat them 1-1, dude. They're 1-1. And one team has multiple rings. The other has none.
I have confidence. Bills fans think they need to draft wide receivers to help out their quarterback, you know?
We'll have to play that clip tomorrow. Brandon Bean showing WGR Bank. It's really fun.
Oh, man. I heard that. It's great stuff.
He dunked on a couple of radio hosts. Look, we all do it.
How many rings does Bean have, man? He's rocking those rings. Is he dragging those rings around, the Super Bowl rings? Because maybe those hosts were actually right. Because the quarterback, that wide receiver room, not great. They're not exactly supplying the talent for Josh Allen.
They had the number like 2 scoring offense in the NFL. There's a pretty strong logic between we don't need to fix a thing that's not broken.
So let's just go and draft the slowest guy in the wide receivers at the combine, which he did.
Yeah, you good with Goodell saying they should shorten the first round to 7 minutes.
I like it so much that I even cut the audio for because I absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's
I'm
great.
Good with that. Hey, man, let's use our 2-minute challenge to get those extra 2 minutes.
I'm with you.
Seven minutes would be perfect.
I love the extra strategy.
Appreciate you coming in studio. Thanks, I know guys. You're going to hop on the drive this afternoon. You got your draft special again tonight at 6 o'clock.
And we'll be mocking.
Mock.
26.
Mock.
26 mock.
All right, guys. Have a good rest of the day. The drive coming up next.